of God. The instrument which we are using is matter, so it is also materialistic in that. In a particular culture, probably you place the spiritual goals on a higher level than the materialistic goals. But demand for spiritual goals is to be more materialistic than ever before.
Now, you mentioned that people have this need for new religious experiences, new gurus, new drugs, new just something new. And then, so you come along. And for a lot of people, they must fall into that same trap with you. I mean, they look at, like, well, for instance, Paul, I knew him from a story I did on Da Free John. And so he was going from Da Free John to, and he was talking, he describe you in a sense as a guru.
Yeah, but that's
these articles write you up as a sort of there's a tone to the
story.
How do you feel about that?
But the problem
you're falling into the same trap.
No, I'm not falling into the same trap.
You're not, but people who are coming to you.
But you see when once you are dissatisfied with one illusion, you're always looking for something else. This is what I am telling you. You have got to replace one illusion with another illusion. You know. So you want to believe. It's not only a want, but also there is a need to believe in something or the other. You replace one belief with another belief. Even if this is pointed out to them, there is no way that they can free themselves from this belief. See, they move from one guru to the other.
But do you see that? Do you see people doing that with you?
Of course, you see.
All the time.
Yeah. You know, I'm telling them, you see, you get lost, you see, do what you like.
See, Rajneesh said the same thing. I was interviewing Rajneesh once up in Oregon, and he said, he had said that he doesn't want to start a religion. He doesn't want to be an ism. He doesn't want to be a Rajneesh-ism. At the same time that his organization was putting out a book saying, Introduction to Rajneeshism. And so I said to him, how can you say you don't want to be an ism when you're allowing people to put this book out that says Rajneeshism? And he said, well, they don't listen to me. Which is kind of a cop-out, because he has some responsibility for what's done in his name.
Yes, it is. It is.
So how do you get around that problem?
I have so far been successful in preventing people to create any organization around me.
But if you have no desire to proselytize, why do you even want to talk to me? Because what I could very well do is write up the story, and it's printed all these hundreds of thousands of times.
Yes.
Well, wouldn't you just say, no, I don't want to talk to this reporter?
I talk to anybody.
But you see what I mean? I mean, if you... I'm not just anybody.
No,
I mean,
I will tell you, you see, this, I have seen a lot of all these newspapers, and most written about newspapers, person in India. And they are looking for, you may not be looking for, you see, for a new kind of a subject. As you say, you have written on Rajneesh, you have written on Baba Free John, you have written on Krishnamurti. That's your job.
Yeah.
You are looking for a new subject. Baba Free. May not be, because maybe he pressured you to come to see.
I came to you because of my friend had seen your book, and he is a very skeptical sort.
So you see, you are looking for a subject. You see, the people are asking me, why suddenly you have decided, you see, I appeared on many of your television programs and all these programs, why you have suddenly become public, gone public, they are asking all my friends. I avoid going on public. You see, but unfortunately, why you talk is a very difficult question to answer. What is the point in hiding myself, you see, in a cave? What does it prove? You see, if you become silent and do any retirement from this world, still, you see, the people attach some significance to that. You see, that is always the case. And my interest is, if it is a question of talking to her, if it is a question of talking to Paul, if it is a question of talking to anybody else, why not I talk to you, or why not I talk to that man, Mishloff here, or somebody else there, you see, on the television. They are entertainers, you see.
No, but if you really want to avoid being...
No, I don't want... I want to do something. There is a motivation, you see. the motive behind my wanting to see you or agreeing to see you, mm-hmm. there is no such a thing as a motiveless action at all.
Okay.
The motive is to see, to seek your help, to express myself in such a way that if you can put me across to your readers, mm-hmm. that there is nothing religious, that there is nothing spiritual about what I am talking about. Even if you call me an agnostic or a nihilist, it doesn't matter. You see, the Polish people have translated that first book into Polish and submitted it to the government at that time, a couple of years ago, because there are no other publishers there. They rejected on the ground that it is a nihilist, you see. They put a label on that. I don't know what the Russians would call that book when the time is. The book is translated into Chinese and they can't come to see me now, you see, in Hong Kong. So this is my motive. You see, all those who come to see me are either from that group or this group or Krishnamurti's group or disillusioned people with their particular groups. So the difficulty of carrying on a conversation with them, you see, I have to use your medium. I have no other way of expressing myself.
But you have people who there are these, and I see them all the time, who jump from one group to the next.
Exactly.
And then jumping to you is, in a way, a very logical progression.
It's not a logical progression at all, because they are translating, interpreting what I am saying within that religious framework, you see. So that is the reason why, you see, they put this label on me, the God man, you see, in India, or a guru. The problem is
anti-guru.
I am not concerned about the gurus at all. I am not a guru. So I want, you see, to express myself through your medium. Maybe you will be able to put me across to your readers. What I am trying to emphasize, that what is, if you call it an enlightenment, it doesn't matter. It has no religious content in it. That's all I want to say.
You say it's a natural state.
It's a very natural state, in the sense that natural state is not a synonymous term for enlightenment or any such thing at all. A natural state, when once the stranglehold of thought is released, you see, from controlling the whole of this body, it functions in a natural way. You know, the whole system becomes so sensitive, you see. So what I'm saying is, the mind is sensual in its nature. It is interested only in sensuality and sensuous experiences. Even spiritual experiences, which we consider to be extraordinary, fall into the category of sensuality. Whereas this living organism is interested in sensory activity. See, that is the living thing that is there. That's all that I'm pointing out. It has no interest, you see, to convert anybody. You are as unique as I am. Your uniqueness cannot express itself as long as the cultural input has a stranglehold on it. If you are lucky, and if it is freed from that stranglehold, whatever you are left with, you see, expresses itself. You see, but what is there is something unique. And that uniqueness cannot express itself as long as there is, you see, an effort, attempt on your part to fit yourself into that thing. Whatever potential is there, I'm not talking of spiritual potential, you see, the potential, the human potential, will surface and express itself in an extraordinary way. It is bound to be an individualistic thing. So what I'm saying is that, you see, the whole spiritual business is something like riding a tiger. And it's a very tiring thing to go on riding a tiger, because you are frightened of jumping off the tiger. And if you jump off, we fear that the tiger might gobble you up with death. So you keep riding the tiger, you see. So when once you are free from the fear of this boredom, or the fear of jumping off the tiger for whatever reason is not there, that is all that is there, you keep riding without any danger.
Now, when you, at some point in your life, you had this same desire.
Same. Otherwise, I would have wasted all my life.
But when you had this one sort of dramatic
It was
event.
Something like, you see, a lightning hitting me.
Is this the thing at the strip show? Is this a girly show? This
yeah,
was what
this
happened?
Was there. First time I felt the, you see, instead of
why
hitting,
there?
Huh?
Why there?
You see, as a protest against Krishnamurti, you see, somebody dragged me to attend Krishnamurti's talk. For the first time, they wanted us to buy tickets to listen to him in Paris. So I didn't want to pay any money to Krishnamurti's talks, and my friend and I, we were standing there. He said, come on, let's go and spend this money and go to a, not a strip piece, which I don't know what they call.
Is it burlesque? Burlesque,
exactly. Burlesque. Not burlesque. Burlesque is a very cheap thing, you know, striptease. But there in stage show it is, you see, some sort.
No, I know, like at the Lido in Paris. Yeah, yes.
Something
Paris
like
that. Paris Bézier.
And I got Paris Bézier, yes. Yeah. And I,
was it the Paris Bézier?
Casino de Paris, I think, actually. Similar thing, yeah. Similar thing. And for the first time there I experienced a very strange experience that is described there, you see. And when I was looking at it, I was not in any way upset by the whole thing at all, but who is dancing, you see? What is going on there, you see? This kind of a strange experience hit me, you see. Whether I was there dancing or they, the dancers, are there, I could not separate these two things, you know. And, you see, I felt as if I was there on the stage, you see, dancing. And with all this brush jumping up, you see, and it was a very strange experience for me.
You had never seen something like that?
Never felt like that at all, you see.
You never seen a show like that?
Never. That was the first and the last time, not that I continue to go on. I recommend people to go.
I recommend that as a way to
not
we have the Mitchell Brothers.
Not at all. I don't recommend anything. It's because I don't know what triggered this in me. You know, that is why I use always this peanuts business, you see. You know?
But you must have, but it had something to do with where you were, because your whole thing is that you're responding to what's out there, right?
The separateness was absent, you see. I didn't know whether, you see, I was a dancer or whether I was watching it. It was some strange kind of an experience. I did not at that time relate that strange experience to anything that was in the direction of my achieving the goal, you see. So there is, I never felt anything. That there is anything nearness or far awareness from my goal. You see, it just hits you, and it is a random thing about it. You see, people wanting to find out the cause. Now, a friend of mine has been asked to write a biography for Penguins. He's a famous movie director, and I tell him, in India, you see.
What's his name?
His name is Mahesh Bhatt. He produced a lot. Mahesh Bhatt is his name. He has produced a lot of. Philips, which were very and I said there is no story to tell. See,